Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
All right. It is another Sunday, 12:06 to be exact. I'm Dana Barrett. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review, and of course, pushing all the buttons and making the world go round. Mike Roy, how you doing, sir?
I make the world go round just by pushing buttons. That's a nice leap.
That's all it takes these days.
It really is.
Well, pushing buttons and arguing. Lots of arguing, lots of debating. I almost feel like I have to talk a little bit about the government shutdown just because it's... you should see Mike Roy right now. I wish this was television. I can't even take you. I can't even have a serious conversation right now because you're just having so much fun over there.
Would you rather it hit me in the face? You probably laugh during one of your segments.
His microphone is malfunctioning, shall we say. Anyway, I feel like we can't start a show without talking a little bit about the potential government shutdown, just because it is sort of the huge headline right now. And, you know, the last thing I want to do on the show, which is all about business and all about Atlanta, is get political and go off on a political tangent, because that's just not what we do. But I do want to say, if you haven't been keeping up, apparently the latest in the shutdown discussion is that the House has now passed their bill, or whatever it is. I'm going to describe this wrong because I'm not that political. But basically, their spending plan, I should say, would delay Obamacare for a year and repeal the tax on medical devices, but would keep the government running. We would not go into a shutdown. Well, that goes back to the Senate and the president, and they're not going to pass it. So unless something dramatic happens between now and the end of the day tomorrow, I believe it is, we will have a government shutdown. And, you know, at first thought, you know, when I wasn't really thinking about what that meant, the government's going to shut down, I thought, oh, well, you know, who cares? But the thing is, it's huge, actually. If you think about all the things that are government funded that will not be funded come the end of the day tomorrow if this happens, it's pretty major. Everything from small businesses can be impacted to big businesses who have government contracts, to people who work for national parks, national museums. I mean, there's the list of people that will not be working at the end of the day tomorrow and that will therefore impact everyone is huge and dramatic, and it will affect the economy on the whole. And I will say this, from the variety of articles that I've read, business in general is not for a government shutdown, no big surprise, because we do not want the economy to go into a tailspin. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next 24 hours. Stay tuned. That's what I have to say about that. The number here in our studio, 404-231-1190, if you want to give us a call and share your opinions on the government shutdown or really anything, we would be happy to talk to you. You can also tweet us at Dana H. Barrett or just use the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. That, of course, requires me to multitask and try to keep up with tweets and such as I'm talking, which is sometimes a challenge for me. But we'll see how it goes. Okay, I have a couple of kind of more national stories that are tech related. So I thought I would start with that. First of all, AT&T is going to start selling the Pebble smartwatch, or they may already have, maybe that was on Friday, not sure, but sometime this week. I don't know if you've seen the Pebble smartwatch yet, but apparently it's been for sale at Best Buy. And it's a watch that talks to your smartphone. So when I first started hearing about these smartwatches, I was doing what I tell you all not to do, which is headline surfing. And I was not really reading the stories and thinking that the watches were standalone devices. And I was thinking, like, really, who needs another device? Like, how annoying. I can't look at a screen that small. I'm not interested. Poo. Which is a technical term. But then I read on. I learned more, and it turns out that these smartwatches are actually devices that work with your smartphone and sort of alert you. So if your smartphone's buried in your purse or deep in your pocket or whatever, you'll get signals on your watch that say, you know, hey, you have a call coming in or a text or whatever. And you can do some things on there, I think, like control your music from the phone, I mean, from the watch. Now, would you buy one of these, Mike Roy, do you think? Does it depend on the price?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I personally do not think that I will ever own such a device. Now, I say that, and I've been a late adopter to some technologies that I've said the same thing about in the past. You know, I've technology's come along and I've said that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And then, you know, 2 years later, I own one and love it. So you never know. But right now, I just feel like enough with the screens and enough with the tiny little screens. And you're getting into my fashion world now with the watch. I don't need to have a piece of technology as part of my outfit. No, thank you. So that's me moving on from that. But, you know, happy to hear your thoughts on the smartwatch out there, you out there in radio land. Okay, also in technology, I thought this was kind of an interesting story. Totally random story I happened to come across on CNN's website, but Bill Gates apparently says the whole Control-Alt-Delete 3-finger salute keystrokes to reboot your computer was a mistake. They never should have done it. They should have just had a single button like Apple does. I thought that was kind of interesting because it's kind of everybody knows what Control-Alt-Delete is, I think, right? And it will probably never go away at this point. And he sort of thinks it
was a
mistake.
Well, actually, it's interesting. Now Control-Alt-Delete kind of brings up your task manager. So if you want to shut it down, I think you have to hit it.
Yeah, need another step.
Another time, a second time. So even more needlessly complicated than the one button.
Yeah, I mean, I always assumed it was that they put it in there because they didn't want you to accidentally reboot. You know, by hitting one key, if you bumped a key or something, all of a sudden you're in reboot.
No, that is a good point, actually. So yeah.
Yeah, I always thought it was kind of smart, but you know, what they didn't ask me, so you know, whatever. And speaking of things they don't ask me about, we have some interesting clips I want to share with you this week from Business Radio X, of course. And the first one is from a brand new show that we have airing called Growth Matters. The host of that show is Michelle Matthews. And this week she had as a guest James Franklin, the CEO of TechBridge, which is an interesting organization. TechBridge is a nonprofit that actually helps other nonprofits use technology. Which is kind of interesting. And in this clip, James is talking a little bit about the perception of running a nonprofit. So take a listen to this.
Especially the transition from for-profit to nonprofit, it's very different. And I think I had the same bias that most people have outside the nonprofit sector. And I thought, how hard can it be? It's a nonprofit. So I'll step in there and I'll fix this and it'll be great and it'll be easy and then we'll move on to something else. And I was naive. It's extraordinarily hard, and we should all have a great amount of respect for the nonprofit sector and an appreciation for how hard their job is. Because if you think about it, I'll talk about our organization in particular. You know, our job is to provide technology to nonprofits that don't really think they need it. They don't understand it, and they don't think it's necessary for them to fulfill their mission. But as Anthony said, every organization needs to be a technology organization. So we need them to understand that. And then on the flip side, we have their donor community that often thinks it's easy and not worthy of investment. You know, the typical scenario is they need, pick something simple. I need a website. Oh, no problem. My nephew is at Georgia Tech, and he'll do this over the weekend, and it'll be great. Now, if he was an investor in a for-profit business and he was at a board meeting, he would probably not say that. But he would for a nonprofit, and it happens all the time. And it's because of that bias. It's a nonprofit. How hard can it be?
You know, an interesting clip, again, that was from a new show on Business Radio X called Growth Matters. You can hear that whole interview at growthmatters.businessradiox.com. But I wanted to air it because there were a couple of interesting things he brought up there. One is that, you know, he talked about it in terms of going into nonprofit from the for-profit world and sort of saying that he didn't realize how difficult the challenges were in the nonprofit world. Well, I think in a way, that hits home for me also just because of what's going on in government right now. I think unless you're in any of those worlds, it's really easy to sit back and criticize if you're not in politics. And I would love nothing better to sit here and criticize what's going on in the political system right now because it is really frustrating that they can't get anything done. On the other hand, I've never been in those shoes, so easy for me to say. And I think that was an interesting point that sort of James made about the nonprofit world. You know, coming from for-profit, thinking, oh, this is just easy. I'll just zip in here and fix everything. Well, it isn't as easy as it looks. The other thing I thought was really interesting about this clip is that people do have the perception with certain types of things that, oh, I can just get Uncle Joe, you know, to do it in his basement. Oh, he can build a website, or, you know, I have a friend that's a graphic artist. They can throw something together for me. Or I can have so-and-so write a press release. I mean, there are certain skills, I think, that people just don't value the way they should, because a really good website is different than the one Uncle Joe builds in the basement. You know, a really well-branded company, well-branded product with wonderful graphics is very different. I mean, if you watch commercials on television, which we sort of enjoy in our household, there are some great ones and there are some terrible ones. So having just because you are a car dealer and you can make your own TV commercial, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, if you invest some money, like a company like AT&T does, for example, and puts those great commercials on with those little kids saying why, you know, more is better, you know, you engage your audience in a much different way. So anyway, I think it's important to kind of give the experts their due sometimes. And I just sort of like that was sort of a side effect of what James was talking about in that Growth Matters clip. All right, we've got more news stories, more headlines, and more great clips coming up right after this. Please stay with us.
Keep it locked on Biz 1190 and biz1190.com.
What's the reality behind the so-called phony scandals? Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. What's phony are President Obama's promises to find the truth. And the latest issue of Town Hall magazine gets to the bottom of those empty promises. There's also an examination of the persecution of Christians in America and a fresh look at the cost of counterterrorism post 9/11. Town Hall magazine offers fresh, intelligent insights you can't get anywhere else. And there's a special gift for you when you log on and subscribe at townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I'd tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids, you can trust these guys.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hi, this is a wizard. Join me and the Fox every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. The show's about the stock market. We are in a great bull market. It will last another 3 or 4 years. So let us teach you how to make money and be a winner on Wall Street. Whether you're a trader or an investor, we can teach you how to win. So join us Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. Be a winner.
For the latest financial news and information, keep it locked on Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. It is Sunday, September 29th, about 20 minutes after 12. I'm Dana Barrett, sitting with Mike Roy here in the studios at 1190, and we're having a good old time.
And we're definitely live because we just gave you the right time.
That's right.
We couldn't do that ahead of time.
No, this is like the real thing here.
Yes, do not try this at home.
That's right. You might hurt yourself. We're hurting ourselves here in the studio. Okay, so this, of course, is the Business Radio X Week in Review. Lots of great programming happening on Business Radio X every week, so make sure you check that out, businessradiox.com. And, of course, we sum it all up for you every weekend here on Week in Review, and we do other things. We give you some headlines, as are my regular listeners, if I have any, all three of you. No, you know, my mom, she's listening. I like lists. I don't know why, but these lists just appeal to me. And I think it's because there's somebody out there every week researching something that I deem pretty silly and actually making headlines with it. So, you know, we could be talking about Obamacare. Yeah, we could. Sure. We could be talking about government shutdown. Why not? You know, we could be talking about, you know, Syria. We could have world politics. There's lots of things we could be. But instead, here on the Week in Review, we're going to talk about lists. So first of all, I have a list of the top music venues in the country. And according to Rolling Stone magazine, Philips Arena is number 9, which is pretty cool. I mean, first of all, Rolling Stone, reputable magazine. We like them. And it's nice that we have a cool arena here that's good enough to make number 9 on a list. So I thought that was kind of fun. Going from the Go Atlanta to the I'm not so sure this is a good thing list, UGA is number 8 on Playboy's top party schools list. So if your child just went off to UGA earlier this month, or I guess it was in August, congratulations on that. Your child is now at one of the top party schools, says Playboy magazine. Now, let me give you the list of all of the rest of the party schools in case you want to transfer to one of them. At number 1, West Virginia University. Number 2, University of Wisconsin, followed by University of Colorado. University of Southern California at number 4, Florida State. Number 5, University of Texas. 6, Louisiana State University. 7, UGA at number 8, Arizona State at number 9, and University of Maryland number 10. So, some of these places, I'm not going to pick on specific ones out of the top 10, but some of these places I can understand because I don't think there's anything else to do, for example, in West Virginia. But I could be wrong about that. I've never been, so I shouldn't criticize. Anyway, congratulations to you if that's where your kids are at school. Okay, moving on. I'm sure there's lots of great academics there, too. I don't mean to call out UGA. All the Bulldog fans right now are like booing me and, you know, changing the channel and whatever. I apologize. I'm just teasing. Have a sense of humor. And speaking of having a sense of humor, Mike Roy, here's a story that you cannot... This is a story that, if you missed it, your life could be less good. I mean, this is such an important story that I need to bring it to you. Here it is. Here's the headline. Gigantic fungus may return to Georgia. Yes, you heard me right. Gigantic fungus. Now, we had tawny, crazy ants. We've had all kinds of crazy things coming to Georgia. Now it's a gigantic fungus. Listen to this. Mushroom caps that can grow as large as trash can lids may be popping up soon in northeast Georgia. Okay, if you see one of these, please take a picture of it and tweet it to me because that is freakish. Like, are we in Land of the Lost or something?
Or Willy Wonka, chocolate factory. I've never seen a mushroom that big in my life.
I'm with you. Completely bizarre. All right, so since this segment of the show, segment number 2, if you will, is the crazy segment, I am going to use this as a very, very poor segue into our clip for the day because while it was not crazy, it is kind of fun. And this clip is from our Gwinnett studio, the Gwinnett Business Radio Show, which... Apparently, every time I've been airing clips from the show, Mike, I've been saying it airs at the wrong day and time. I just keep making something up every week. Well, I've been corrected. The show airs every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. And, of course, you can listen to it by going to GwinnettBusinessRadio.com.
You mean you were corrected after making it up all this time?
Yeah,
what you said? Okay.
Yeah, I was corrected.
Okay.
Yeah, and I stand corrected. So every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m., you can tune into Gwinnett Business Radio. This week, Mike Salmond was joined by a guest host, Melissa Kamak. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, so I apologize, Melissa, if I got that wrong. But they had some interesting guests. They had Travis and Patsy Gatson, who are the husband-wife owners of the Popcorn Palladium, which is a popcorn shop located in Suwannee, which the shop opened in 2010, so it's been going strong, 3 years. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And they're talking in this clip a little bit about the different flavors of popcorn. So this is just fun, and I thought you might like it. Take a listen.
Go ahead and give us maybe some of the more popular ones and maybe some of the more unique ones.
Well, we have watermelon, we have dill, we have buffalo wing, we have jalapeno, we have Texas trio, we have fruit salad, we have caramel corn, and many, 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 many more.
And everything's made there on site.
Yes, everything's
so
made on
fresh.
Site in Suwannee.
Fresh.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Fruit salad popcorn. How do you do that?
Well, it's, you know how you make candy and it gets heated. We have a big caramelizer and we put the ingredients in there. And at the very right moment, we put the popped corn in there. And we stir and stir and stir until everything's coated. So it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. So I have to ask, what is your favorite flavor?
I like the Texas Trio. That's jalapeno, cheese, and ranch mixed together. It is good.
I like sea salt cracked pepper. That's one of my favorites now.
Thank you.
Now, is it like an ice cream shop where people can come in, they pick their flavor, and do they get? Can they sample some
popcorn? Oh, definitely. Yes. Definitely. We give free samples all the time.
Now, do you have other items there besides popcorn? I would think you would have drinks, but are there other food items as well?
Well, primarily we focus on popcorn, but we do have drinks because, you know, you need that sometime. We have slushies and, you know, Cokes and things like that. So, and basically folks can sit down and watch a movie, too, while they're there.
And you touched upon some services. I think you mentioned birthday parties and so forth. Tell us about a birthday package. What would a birthday party entail?
Well, we have a 92-inch screen TV that shows a movie.
92-inch?
Yes. So you can have a movie. You have unlimited popcorn. You can have a slushie. And then you tell us either tea or lemonade beforehand. You have unlimited amount of that. And then we have a few games like foosball and air hockey and those different types of things there also to have some fun.
All right. Again, that was Gwinnett Business Radio, and you can listen to that entire interview at gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. And again, the reason I wanted to share it, first of all, who knew that there could even be 41 flavors of popcorn? I didn't. And I love popcorn. I mean, popcorn is literally one of my favorite things.
Like the perfect snack food.
It's delicious.
Yes.
It really is. And it's so weird. Like, who figured out that if you dried corn kernels and then you heated them up that they would pop and turn into something delicious?
It's not just for the movie theaters anymore. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And you know what's really interesting is that one of the things Travis and Patsy were talking about is they do have other things in their store. You can have a birthday party there. You can watch a movie on a big screen while you munch on your 41 flavors of popcorn. And the thing that I found especially interesting about this interview is, and this happens a lot on Business Radio X, because we get a lot of entrepreneurs that come on. And the thing is, there is a difference between talkers and doers. It's not always about having a great idea. It's not inventing the next big thing. It's not about being Apple or coming up with the pet rock, always a favorite. These guys came up with an idea that some people might have said, that will never work. You're going to do what? You're going to have a shop that has 41 flavors of popcorn? How could you possibly sustain that? It's stupid, right? I mean, people have told me my business ideas are stupid all the time. But the thing is, half the battle is just doing it, is just starting something. If you believe in it, if you think it's a good idea, I'm not saying you shouldn't take other people's advice. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to the experts, that you shouldn't do your homework, do your financial analysis of your business. But they're making a business work that I am sure a lot of people told them would not. 3 years down the road, they are selling 41 flavors of popcorn, and they're doing it with some style. You got to love that. I've heard a lot of people who are out there looking for that, you know, invention or that new big thing, and who are only going to take a chance if they find that big idea. Well, that is elusive, and as evidenced by how fast this week went by, time flies. So if you're waiting for the big idea, you might want to rethink your business strategy and just think about starting something. You know what? The other thing they say, all the time, and you know, I talked about Bill Gates earlier, but is, you know, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, part of being successful is failing. So start something and fail. Start something else and fail. Start something else and fail. You know, don't put your kids into, you know, the poorhouse. You have to be careful, obviously. But there is, just think about the difference between talkers and doers. And a little self-evaluation. Are you a talker or are you a doer? It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail. And you might end up with something cool, like Travis and Patsy and their popcorn shop that is doing well. And the thing is, they're clearly able to think outside the box. Maybe they started with, we're just going to sell 41 flavors of popcorn. And then they said, oh, you know what? Let's put a movie screen in here. Oh, you know what? Let's do birthday parties. And they're going to keep it going because they're creative and they're thinking outside the box. And you have to applaud that. So they get my applause. There you go. Of course, we have lots more great stuff coming up. More headlines, you know, more clips. More complaints, more whining, maybe even a shameless self-plug or two. We'll be back right after this.
This is Atlanta's Business Talk of the Town. Keep it locked on Biz 1190 and biz1190.com.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
This is Hugh Hewitt for the Townhall.com Weekend Journal. Senator Ted Cruz takes center stage.
I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand.
We'll look at the legislation that led up to this fight. And experts discuss what's next. All this and more. Don't miss it. Fast, engaging, insightful. The Townhall.com Weekend Journal.
Don't miss the Townhall.com Weekend Journal. Sunday mornings at 7, right here on Biz 1190. Always right on the money.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
A few years ago, my husband was laid off from his job. We found ourselves accumulating a large amount of credit card debt. One morning, I overheard an ad, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
The process was painless. My counselor that was assigned to me was amazing. Never once did she make me feel any less of a person. She was almost like a friend.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Trinity has continued to support me, keeping me informed of useful tips. And today, I'm debt-free for keeps.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-345-2159. 1-800-345-2159. That's 1-800-345-2159. 1-800-345-2159.
Biz 1190. Weather.
Mostly sunny, comfortable this afternoon, the high getting up to 75, then partly cloudy tonight. There could be a little fog late, the low down to 58, and then sunshine, some clouds building at times tomorrow and Tuesday. High getting up to 78 tomorrow, 82 on Tuesday, and then we'll be in the mid-80s for Wednesday and Thursday with sun and clouds, and it looks to me like there's a chance of a shower or thunderstorm late in the day on Thursday. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dean DeVore for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. It is Sunday, September 29th, now 12:34 in the afternoon. It is a gorgeous day outside, Mike Roy. You gotta love it. We complain about the rain, so we gotta say when it's nice out.
Well, I don't mind the rain anymore just because we kind of got a break from it. It was just every day over the summer, and this month kind of off and on.
Yeah, it's been okay.
I don't even mind it anymore. We just needed a break from it.
You're so easygoing.
Oh, of course.
I'm not nearly that easygoing, but it is a beautiful day today, and I'm getting a little, over the break, we had a little bit of a longer break there with the news update and all of that, and I was reading more about the shutdown and the government shutdown and Obamacare and all that, and I'm getting like more angry as I sit here. Like, I'm actually starting to get riled up. So I have to bring it up again just to say this. Here's the thing. Right now, what's happening is there are two kind of unrelated issues. Well, there's really three, but we won't get into that. There's Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, which is supposed to, the exchanges are supposed to go into effect Monday, I believe. And then the actual reform and all the laws go into effect January 1st, I believe, is the deal. And then there is this continuing the budget thing so that the government can continue to pay its workers, all the government workers, including, by the way, the military, all these people. So here's the thing. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this, and the reason why is because I'm really fired up. But here's the thing. This is basically what's happening is they've combined two issues. Our government, our Congress, has combined two issues in order to blackmail the other side, right? So instead of just passing this financial bill, this fiscal year bill that we need to pass so that we can keep the government working, they've tied it to the Affordable Care Act and their desire to defund Obamacare, which, you know, listen, I understand that they don't like Obamacare, and I understand that they want to do something about it, but I feel like these are two completely separate issues, and by putting them together, it's a form of blackmail. And if you're, let's say you were in a fight with your spouse or partner, and you could not, you know, separate the subject of the fact that they got in a car accident with the fact that they're, not talking nicely to you or whatever, you would immediately say, honey, those are two separate issues. Stop it. Let's stop this right now. If your children were fighting and that's what they were doing to each other, you would say, stop it. This is not acceptable. These are two separate issues. Let's deal with them one at a time. This is what I feel should happen. I don't understand why these issues have to be tied together. And it's pissing me off. Okay, I've said it. I'm going to calm down. And I will say this. Assuming that Obamacare does not get defunded and does go forward as expected, which remains to be seen, and again, the next 24 to 48 hours are going to be really interesting, I did find a story that said that Georgia Obamacare premiums are actually lower than expected. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The basic gist of this is that Georgians will pay lower premiums for health insurance than they were originally expecting to when the Affordable Care Act takes effect in January, if it takes effect in January. Again, one of the things the House is trying to do right now is just push it back a year, I guess, so they can figure it out. Anyway, the gist of it is essentially that the average premium for the lowest cost, what they're calling bronze plan in Georgia, will be about $265 a month. Now, I actually clicked through that story and looked at the rates across the country. I don't have it with me, so I can't kind of read the list off to you. But the gist is that we're not the lowest and we're not the highest. There are some states that are higher, some that are lower. I'm not quite sure how that got determined. I will say this, that's about what I pay now, $265 a month is approximately what I pay now for my health care, and I am self-employed. So it's kind of interesting. The other thing I find interesting about all of this is that, you know, if you're staying up on the news and you're reading all about this, you know that these exchanges where you can select your health care are supposed to go into effect October 1st. And I guess that means you have from October 1st till January to select what you want to select, I assume, and that it would take effect January 1st. I don't even know if that's accurate. But my point is, I am somebody that should probably take advantage of Obamacare because I am self-employed and I do pay for my own insurance and I do have a pre-existing condition. So some of the things Obamacare is sort of meant to handle, I fall into those categories. However, even though I'm up on the subject and I'm reading all this stuff, I don't actually know how to get into the exchange. I know that it exists, but I don't actually know the steps to participate. So I'm going to do some research this week and see if I can figure it out, and I'll let you know next week, because I thought that was kind of interesting. It's like, okay, October 1st, exchanges, no idea what that means. Is there a website? Is there a phone number? Will they send me something in the mail? I kind of doubt that, but it may not matter because the government may be shut down and I may not be able to participate October 1st. Regardless, I will keep you up to date on that. Also, another interesting sort of side note is I was reading about this these companies called PEOs. That's like P as in Paul, EOs. If you don't know what that is, they are companies that essentially hire people for you. If you're a small company and you get those workers on a contract basis, like as a vendor, and the PEO will pay their health insurance and their taxes and they write their paychecks and all of that. So it's basically like going to a temp agency and hiring somebody short term. Same idea. So the PEOs are actually expecting a lot of growth because of Obamacare. They can actually get better deals on insurance because they're bigger. And so a lot of small businesses will be turning to these PEOs for their employees. So if you don't know about that and you're in a small business, you might want to just Google PEOs and see who's around and if their services can help you. Kind of an interesting little side note. All right. Before we run out of time, because I got fired up, sorry about that, we do have another clip. And I actually had the privilege this week of sitting in on the Results Matter show on Business Radio X. So I got to guest host that show. And I had five incredible women on as guests from the National Association of Women Business Owners. It's called NABO. And they were all wonderful and fascinating and made me want to go out and join NABO, I got to tell you, because these were like the most dynamic women I've had the privilege of being in the presence of for quite some time. But this particular clip is from a woman named Dorothea Bozacolona-Volpe. Easy for me to say. She is a strategic digital marketing executive and owns a company called Social Espionage, which I love the name of that, Social Espionage. Don't you want to join that company just because of the name, Mike Rye?
Of course.
Yeah. Anything with espionage in it, I'm in. Right?
I'm reconsidering my career just having heard that.
See? Dorothea has had a lot of great things to say on the interview. And if you do want to hear the whole interview, go to resultsmatter.businessradiox.com. But for now, take a listen to this.
I work with small startups, entrepreneurs. I love my entrepreneurs because they typically, they have very little money and they have very big ideas. And they're wonderful people. They're so delicious. And I also work with people who are big, I've worked for big brands, you know. I'm not going to bore you with this. You can go to my LinkedIn and look at that. But I also work with celebrities, predominantly helping people understand how they use the social media channels in two very specific ways. One to draw attention and the other to make money. My biggest problem with social media marketers today, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but guess what? I don't care, is that they're really about plugging in holes with no strategy. They do what I call brandscaping. And they think, well, because my competitor's there, I've got to be there, right? And it doesn't make sense. I'm all about super customer-centric, let's make money if we're going to be spending time in that channel kind of strategies. And I love what I do because the people that I work with, I feel like that part of giving back, you know, that education. And I work with agencies, I work with companies, I work with solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, startups. It's so amazing to teach somebody something about a new technology or a new way of thinking and see that light bulb go off.
All right. That was a quick
That's
little...
That's how you end a segment.
Yeah, we just ended that segment. That's my fault. I edited that. But
No, I like it. Light bulb goes out.
Light bulb goes out, bam, or on, bam. Okay, so again, that was the Results Matter radio show on Business Radio X and a great interview with all five women from NABO. But the reason I wanted to air that particular clip from Dorothea is that she's hitting on one of my hot buttons that I think I've talked about on the show before, which is that people, what she's doing in her business, as she said, one of the things she's doing is helping people use social media for two reasons. One, to attract attention, and two, to make money. This is a hot button for me because I've worked for companies over the course of my career who got very invested in getting the numbers on social media, getting those followers on Twitter, getting those fans on Facebook, or whatever you call them now, the likes, and they became obsessed with those numbers, but those numbers didn't actually turn into dollars. So there's this whole question, and I've brought this up before, especially with smaller businesses who have limited resources in terms of people and time and money. How much time, money, resources do you spend on social media if you're not getting a return on your investment? If there's no ROI, are you spending your time in the best possible way? Yes, you may feel like you have to participate. And in the interview, if you go listen to it, Dorothea talks a little bit about people who are just participating because their competitors are participating and they feel they have to. So anyway, I thought that was really interesting, and I am going to talk to her some more over the course of the next few weeks just because I found her fascinating and love her accent too. We're going to take a quick break, though, and more on social media and how you can do it right after this.
your source for financial news. This is Biz 1190.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I'd tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids. You can trust these guys.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Coming soon to Biz 1190, DTI Market Buzz with Tom Busby. Tom Busby gives market insights and understanding trading stocks, options, futures, and other markets. DTI Market Buzz with Tom Busby.
DTIMarketBuzz.com.
Coming soon to Biz 1190.
In times of joy and moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, I'm Dana Barrett. Join me every Sunday at noon for the Business Radio X Weekend Review. With all the information coming at us every day, it's easy to miss something. But not to worry, I've got you covered. Every Sunday, I'll catch you up on what's happening in Atlanta and introduce you to the innovators who move Atlanta's bottom line.
With traffic reports that are always right on the money, this is Atlanta's Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. Right after I was talking myself in that promo. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, well, we have a little... A little unusual how we set up our playlist for today.
Yeah,
that was your own promo.
That was a little strange.
Just in your own show.
Totally. All right. Before we get back onto this topic of social media and using it to actually make money, a couple quick headlines that I do want to share with you because you might have missed them, and that's what Weekend Review is all about, making sure you didn't miss anything. First of all, West Midtown. I don't know if you've been over there lately, but it is quite the little part of town now. Quite a bunch of cool shops over there, cool restaurants, and now there is a new 230-unit apartment project being planned. There's already a couple buildings going up. This one is by Perennial Properties, and it's going to be off of Howell Mill Road, right around the corner from there. Of course, my one complaint about West Midtown is the same complaint I have about Atlanta in general, which is that it's that little area is its own little separate area off to the side, and you can't get there easily from Midtown or, you know, downtown or Buckhead. It's always get in the car in Atlanta. Get in the car, get in the car, get in the car. So I wish that we would do a better job of making things more walkable, making, you know, we're trying with things like the streetcar and the Beltline and all these things. But, you know, then you have this cool hip area happening on the west side that's just not that accessible, which I think is kind of sad. Okay, and from sad to happy, if you're a Georgia Tech student and you want to do a startup, there is now maybe some more money for you. David Cummings, who is the guy behind Atlanta Tech Village, did his first tech startup, as an undergraduate at Duke. He is 33 years old now and a multi-millionaire from selling his company. And so he's decided to give back via $5,000 to $10,000 micro loans to Georgia Tech students who want to do tech startups. So I thought that was pretty cool. And also pretty amazing that this 33-year-old guy is so freaking successful. Just saying. All right, let's get on social media and the soapbox of the day. Because I have talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about it again, but I'm going to bring up a new angle, Mike Roy, because we want to keep things fresh here on Week in Review. So, you know, as I was saying, based on the clip we had earlier, so Dorotea is saying, you know, if you're going to engage in social media, you should be doing probably both things, drawing attention and making money. And she has the secrets of how to do that. I certainly do not. I wish I knew, because I would be making a lot more money than I am if I could figure out how to turn social media into ROI. The point I think that I want to make is that when you're a company, no matter what size, if you're, you know, the CEO of a major, huge corporation, you happen to be listening, well, first of all, call me. But second of all, you know, even if your company is medium-sized, small, 300 people, 30 people, 3 people, you really need to examine your philosophy and your plan as it relates to social media, because just having it isn't necessarily worth all that much. Do you have to do things just because they're expected? We've talked about this before. Because everyone else is doing it, if everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? I mean, you know, and this is where the soapbox is coming in. Here's the thing that I noticed was starting to get on my nerves this week. Contests. This is another one that has gotten so overblown and overdone. Everybody is doing a contest. There's so many contests out there that it's just annoying. And how much time as an individual do you spend entering contests? You don't even think about it. You're like, oh, sure, I'll click through. I'd like to win that house. Click, click, click. Or, oh, yeah, I'd like to win that car. Sure, click, click, click. The next thing you know, your email box is inundated with mail from these companies that you clicked through and participated in their contest. And though I do know one person who actually enters contests as kind of a pet project and wins a lot, most people I know don't win, including myself. And I am silly enough to fall for it and enter on a regular basis. And so I'm really just mad at myself today, Mike Roy, for being that stupid, because I fall for it over and over and over again. And I can't tell you the last time I won anything. I will say this. It does seem to me that if you enter smaller contests, like a lot of my author friends, you know, I used to have a bookstore and all of that. So a lot of my author friends do contests where they give away books on their website, or they give away, you know, a group of 10 books and an author visit to a book club or things like that. I won one of those randomly. I won a book from an author. I entered on their Facebook page and I won a book. And I think the reason why is because not that many people are entering, so your chances are better. But if you're entering, not to call anybody out in particular, but if you're entering the home, you know, HGTV Win a Dream House sweepstakes, trust me, you have a tiny, tiny little chance of winning.
Lottery chances.
Yeah, right. So how much time are you investing clicking through when you could actually be doing something more productive for your own life? Filing something, paying a bill, you know, maybe doing your actual job instead of sitting around on your computer futzing around with contests. You know, there are a lot of other things you could be doing. If I counted up all, and you think, oh, it only takes a second. Well, yeah, but if you're doing that multiple times a day, every day.
Multiple seconds.
Right. Yes.
The minutes.
Yes. And let's look at it from the corporation side. If everybody's doing contests, how do you make your contest stand out? How do you make it special? Well, the only way to make it special and to stand out is to make the prizes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that costs money. And I get back to the ROI discussion, because if just because I spend the time clicking through HGTV's website and trying to win the dream home doesn't mean I watch more HGTV or even surf their website. I literally click the exact buttons I need to click to enter that contest, and I go away. Or, you know, certain websites will send you a contest and you'll enter it, and then 2 days later I'm unsubscribing from their email. So the whole point of the contest was to get me interested in what they're doing, and it didn't work. So again, I say you need to look at the ROI from these things. And if all you're getting from these contests is more likes on Facebook because you're making people click like before they can enter the contest, right? Right? Or more followers on Twitter because you're making them follow you before they tweet the special phrase they're supposed to tweet so they can win the contest, then really all you did was... And maybe this is goes back to what Dorotea says. Maybe you did one of the two things, which is you drew attention to yourself, to your business. But are you actually able to convert that attention into cash? That's the real question. And it's so much more measurable in this way than in the old days. You know, in the old days, you put an ad in a magazine and no one could click through the magazine. You know, you put a billboard up on the side of the road and no one could click the billboard. So you would do little tricks like, you know, mention this ad when you use our product to get the discount or whatever. But a lot of people, you don't really know what your impact was. Now we know. But it's like we know and we don't actually care. It's like we know that we got, you know, 30,000 impressions. What is an impression? Did you ever really think about that? It means that your ad was on somebody's page when they were looking at that page. It doesn't mean they looked at your ad. It just means it was there. So that's a number that is kind of meaningless. Okay, then you look at clicks. All right, well, clicks are important because then they looked at your ad and they were interested enough that they clicked through. But then what's the percentage, and I know it's very small, of those click-throughs that actually turn to sales? Very small. I think it's a tiny little percentage, and I'm sure it's different in different industries and for different companies and all of that. But again, and that's fine. If your marketing machine is, you know, if you've got plenty of money to put into that stuff and it does work for you, then great. But what I'm suggesting is it's really not working for a lot of people and that they're just doing it because the Joneses next door are doing it and they feel that they should. And I'm guilty too. I talk all the time, here goes my shameless self-plugs, about going to my Facebook page, Dana Barrett, the Dana Barrett, sorry, facebook.com/TheDanaBarrett, or my Twitter, at Dana H. Barrett. But I don't really know why I'm doing it. I'm going to be honest. I don't really know. I have some followers. I got a handful here and a handful there, and you know, 1,000 over here and a couple hundred over there. I have no idea what I'm doing. No idea. I have no idea how to turn that into actual dollars. So once again, I'm sort of mad at myself today, not all of you. I'm just sort of taking it out on you because, well, I can. But yeah, I do question the whole thing. And I think, you know, over the next probably less time than I think, over the next 3, 4, 5 years, companies are going to start figuring it out and not just be throwing anything against the wall, which I think is what's happening right now. You know, they're just, okay, well, we have to do this, so let's just do it and see what happens. Okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try this. Because it's all new technology, relatively speaking. You know, every other day there's some new, oh, now we have to do Instagram. Oh, now we have to do, you know, there's like Pinterest. Now we have to do, you know, do you have to do it? I don't know. That's the question, and I think that's the question that you all need to be asking yourselves if that's your task. If you're in those marketing departments or if you're a small company and you kind of do it all yourself. I have to go home and ask myself that question as well. And I am, like I said, I am going to talk more to Dorothea Boza Colonna Volpe, who is the expert. And if I get some more tidbits for you, I will bring them back to this show. In the meantime, I'm sure some other things will bother me this week, and we'll have more for the soapbox next week. This has been the Business Radio X Week in Review. Make sure you tune in to lots of great shows on businessradiox.com next week, and we'll be back next Sunday. See you then.